few years ago, an article came out. It said that when Netflix mailed you movies to watch in your home, the number one DVD that would stay with you the longest after you ordered it was a tie between Schindler's List and Hotel Rwanda. Movies about the Holocaust and the Rwandan genocide, respectively. Apparently, people liked the idea of renting these important, painful, difficult movies more than actually watching them. So instead, the red DVD sleeve and disc would sit on top of your TV or on your coffee table, daring you to watch them, imploring you to view them, but people would prefer to look away to watch something else. I find our gospel lesson to be a little like that, especially coming at this time of year. We hear this difficult, familiar story of Jesus' death coming at an unfamiliar time. We see it, we hear it, we know it, but we would prefer to look away. So today, if you came expecting Thanksgiving, you got Good Friday. It seems a little bit like a case of false advertising, this Christ the King Sunday. The DVD cover, so to speak, does not match the description on the back. We are poised to enter into this holiday season, and we want some preparation, some congratulations, but instead, we get a murder. What a way to end this so-called ordinary time. But of course, the upside-down quality of this day has something to teach us, both about our faith journeys and about the nature of God's relationship with us. Let's tackle the calendar first. Every year, Christ the King Sunday marks the end of the church calendar year. Next week, we'll start afresh with Advent 1. If you're really a church nerd out there, this is year A in the Gospel of Matthew. We'll begin with the lead up to Christ's birth. From there, it's a sprint through the incarnation cycle, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Easter, all the heavy hitters in a relatively short amount of time. Then sometime next spring, we'll be back in ordinary time, the name the church gives for the long season after Pentecost. To give you some idea of how long that lasts, when ordinary time began this year in 2019, back in the spring, the Washington Nationals were 19-31. They were given a 0.1% chance of winning the World Series. However many months later, ordinary time in the season after Pentecost is now over. The Nationals are set to begin winter meetings as World Series champions. I know this is somewhat sacrilegious to say, but those 0.1% odds, probably pretty similar to those that Vegas bookmakers would have given for Jesus of Nazareth to create a kingdom of his own. No way in heaven that was going to happen. It was an easy prognostication that this crucified carpenter was not going to have a sequel in the works. Now for us, we do this every year. We know how the story ends. It's the foundation of our faith. But still, we want to jump ahead past today's story, straight to Christ's birth, to the wise men, to the joy, all the way to Christ seated at the right hand of the Father. But today reminds us, as we look forward, that we also need to look back. The drama of this moment allows us this unique vantage point. We're sitting on this precipice. We where we can see both sides. What do we see when we look back on ordinary time, back on the dog days of summer? During this ordinary time, we've gotten to know Jesus. We've traveled with him through the ups and downs. We've been dazzled and mystified and enlightened as Jesus taught, preached, healed, and all the rest. If we're being honest with ourselves, maybe we've heard one too many parables and asked ourselves, where is this headed? But it's in these everyday moments, these ordinary moments of Jesus' life, ministry, and all the highs and lows of what he did and who he what he taught, that the disciples experienced who Jesus was. And those moments of ordinary time were enough to propel them through the rest of their lives and into their deaths. It makes me think that for us too, it's sometimes outside the high moments of the drama, in the ordinary ones where you look back on the everyday moments of living, working, parenting, dealing with coworkers, doing the dishes. Those were the moments of truth and beauty that stick with us, that transcend this world. Liturgical scholars put it this way. It is, of course, in these Sundays after Pentecost that we actually live. That is, in the period between the first and final coming, in between Advent. There, all of time, past, present, and future, is laid before us to be celebrated in the mystery of the liturgical year. Another way to think about it is that we are living in a perpetual Saturday. That is, our gospel story is the story of Good Friday. We know the pain and loss and emptiness of that day. We also understand Sunday, the day of resurrection and rebirth and rescue and hope. We're in between that. Words of George Steiner, ours is a long day's journey of the Saturday. The feast of Christ the King puts all that in hyper relief, in ultra focus. It would be easier, of course, if life were all one linear ascent up the ladder, where things got easier. But instead, Jesus Christ situates himself at that fault line, at the dividing line, where everything is about to change and everything is coming to the end, but it also starts to look like the beginning. That's the confounding and confusing part of life, where our happiness, our understanding of God, it's not a constant and predictable path upward, but a surprising and an unknowable journey that lends itself to this cyclical understanding of time. Through it all, Jesus beckons us to do what we don't want to do, which is behold that image of Christ the King on the cross. Jesus is there. Jesus hangs there, presents himself on that precipice between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, right on the threshold. A thief is on either side of him. One wants to be saved in this world. One wants to be saved in the next. Jesus is in between the two, his arms outstretched. They're long enough to wrap around the both of them, long enough to cover the whole breadth of time, declaring that he offers salvation for both. One thief mocks him with the sarcastic title of Messiah. The other calls him simply Jesus. Jesus is again between the two, closing the chasm, saying, I am both king and servant. I offer salvation in this world and the next. I transcend time. Stretching out his arms and through the powerful example of his self-offering, he is king over that time and this time and all times. He tells the thief at the end of our story, today you will be with me in paradise. revealing to us that God's salvation fractures our own concept of time, showing us that love and mercy can last forever, even through those long days' journey of Saturdays. Amen.